Coming up on KSDP News, St. Paul is just starting to develop a taste for salmon, and an Unalaska swimmer is competing at the state meet this weekend. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 8:30 a.m. Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Thursday, November 3rd, 2016. For many Alaskans, subsistence is all about salmon, but in St. Paul, that isn't the case. Fur seals and seabirds are the primary subsistence foods in the Pribilof Island community. But the Aleut community of St. Paul's Tribal Council thinks that increasing a small salmon run on the island could provide food and a lot more. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Zoe Sobel has the story.
76-year-old Gregory Freitas Sr. isn't a fan of salmon.
Fresh cooked salmon? I don't like it. I could taste that fishy taste.
He says salmon aren't worth the trouble. It takes too much time to catch and process each individual fish. To fill his freezer for the year, he'd rather catch seal, one of the Pribilof Island's traditional foods.
We are the people of the seal. That's part of our diet. We are recognized through the fur seal. And the seal has everything to do with us algae, as food, as arts and crafts and everything.
But Freitas was also one of the first people on the island to go looking for salmon. Back in the early 80s, someone told him about a salmon they discovered washed up on the beach. He found a net and set out to see if he could catch some. After a bit of trial and error, he caught his first salmon.
I took it home, excited, looked at it, cooked it.
All five salmon species have been found in the island's salt lagoon. Now the Aleut community of St. Paul's Tribal Council is hoping to get more residents interested in salmon fishing for two main reasons. First, salmon is a healthy food, and second, it's a great form of exercise. Tribal Council President Amos Filimonov is on board with the idea.
Who can deny that catching a salmon isn't fun? And, you know, the reward of going home and baking a whole salmon, wonderful.
Currently, there are no regulations placed on salmon fishing. The community doesn't keep a count on how many fish there are. But Filimonov estimates there are several hundred in the lagoon. Not much for a community of 500. For the most part, residents get their salmon fix by trading with people off-island. Filimonov says the community is looking into enhancing the run to increase the amount of healthy food available on the island.
All of the junk food they got down at the store is pretty cheap. You can buy five or six pizzas for, you know, a box of ammunition to go out and get these sea ducks or reindeer or whatever, you know. What are you going to do? Are you going to go buy five pizzas and feed your family right now? Or are you going to buy a box of shells?
Still, Gregory Freitas isn't ready to add salmon to his diet, but he fishes to stay active. It gets him out of the house. In the summers, he'll spend 8 or 9 hours in the lagoon walking and catching up with other community members. Even though he doesn't enjoy the taste of salmon, Freitas is looking forward to developing the salmon resource, too.
Imagine that. Derbies and everything. Recreation starts. See, that gets you out of the house. So who knows? I might start eating salmon.
Before that can happen, the community needs to establish if it's even possible to enhance the resource and settle on the simplest way to increase the salmon in St. Paul. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in St. Paul.
As Election Day approaches, we're checking in with voters around the state, asking what issues matter most to them and who they're supporting for president. Today, we'll hear from 19-year-old Darren Traw, a college student in Anchorage who wears her politics. Literally. She sat down with Zachariah Hughes of Alaska Public Media in a lounge on the UAA campus. By her side was a tote bag with a giant letter H.
It's the Hillary H, but with some really beautiful spring flowers.
How long has your hair been blue?
It's been blue since August 2015. It was purple before that for about 6 months, but I went to the Young Democrats of America conference in Los Angeles. I was like, oh, well, I need to change it up, be super blue, make sure everyone knows that I'm a Democrat. It's been that way ever since.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how your identity has interacted with your politics and what your journey's been like there?
Well, so I identify as Chicana. You know, Chicana is a really good term for Mexican-American people who are first-generation Americans. And being a Mexican-American in this country it's different. And people don't really realize that a lot of policy affects us much more than it affects, you know, people who are already empowered in the majority.
Can you give me an example of a time in your life where that felt really apparent to you, or where it felt like that was front and center?
So my mother was born in Mexico, and she's never had her citizenship. She has her green card. I don't know. I feel like there's been such an uprise of xenophobia in this country, where I've felt like even my citizenship, even though I don't, you know, I was born in this country, I don't speak Spanish. I've never even been to Mexico, but you know, I'm hearing murmurings that like we need to send natural born citizens back to the countries that they came from, even though, you know, I'm not actually from Mexico, and that's scary.
You've supported Secretary Clinton since well before the primaries, and I'm just curious what drew you to her as a candidate.
I think she gets it. Like, very simply, she gets what it's like to be someone who, you know, isn't part of an empowered group. And I think through the policy that she's championed for decades, healthcare being more available to low-income people, and, you know, more recently, the availability of college education for low-income people. Like, I think that's very intersectional with not only, you know, minority people, but all disadvantaged people who don't have it as easy.
A lot of issues that it sounds like you're interested in were also brought up by Senator Sanders in his campaign. And I'm curious if that was a hard decision for you, or if it was self-evident from the beginning who you'd be working on behalf of in Alaska and supporting.
It was never a struggle for me. Like, it was never a hard decision, because the way that Bernie Sanders went about his campaign was a traditionally very masculine way of doing things. You know, he's a very charismatic person. He gives rousing speeches, and he says a lot of things, but I didn't hear a lot of listening. And that's what I think Secretary Clinton has done her entire career, is actually listen to people and internalize the struggle, as opposed to just identifying the problem and not putting those concerns into action.
That was Hillary Clinton supporter Darian Traw of Anchorage speaking with Zachariah Hughes of Alaska Public Media. On Monday, we'll hear from a Gary Johnson supporter who says he can't bring himself to vote for Clinton or Donald Trump. Unalaska hasn't sent a swimmer to the state competition in more than a decade, but that drought is about to end. 14-year-old Adam Nguyen is competing in two events at the championship in Juneau this weekend. The freshman qualified for the 500-yard freestyle and the 100-yard backstroke at the regional meet last month, but he says it wasn't an easy task.
If you don't get first at regions, you have to be in the top 16 in the entire state of Alaska. And so I placed number 14.
He also set a new personal best in backstroke and nearly broke his own freestyle record.
Makes me happy and excited, but like my goal this season was to make state. So like, I guess that just came with me meeting my goal.
Nguyen's success bodes well for the future of Unalaska's swim team, according to coach D. Tyrell McGirt. In the past, McGirt says it's been tough for the small program to compete with larger schools around the state, but that's slowly changing.
At this point, the kids who have been swimming on the high school team now have all been swimming since kindergarten, been doing it consistently, and Unalaska is just now starting to be super competitive. I predict within the next 3 years, when Adam's a senior, along with the other group of freshmen that we have and some of the kids that are coming behind them, we'll be sending a lot more kids to states.
For now, Yuen is Unalaska's sole representative at the championship in Juneau. He'll compete tomorrow and on Saturday. And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM.